Welcome back to Hidden Treasures of the Midrash with Daniel Eisenberg. This shir is dedicated to Le'ilui Nishmas, my mother, Chayrach Bas David Tzvi. Parshas Va'era, I've been mitzvah parsha, a very exciting parsha. We have the first seven makos. We're familiar with this from when we were younger, and from the Pesach Seder. And it's always exciting to take a look at what the Midrashim say about the makos that we're so familiar with. You know, they're so interesting and so many different pshatim, but to see some that are actually in Chazal that are not the way we typically understand them, and one in particular that we're going to discuss is the Maka of Arov. And typically we have one image in our mind of Arov, and we're actually going to get not just one, but two alternative images of what Arov might have been, and we'll try to assess a little bit what we can take out of it and how the Mefarshim understand it here as well. So we're going to start in Shemos Rabbah. This is Yud Aleph, and we're going to take a look at the Midrash Beis and Gimel. We're going to start with Beis. Starts Davar Acher. This gives another shot in the introduction to the Maka. Amar Lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. Hashem says to Moshe, Harasha said, this wicked person, Paro, he hardens his heart for the first three, the Shosha Rishonos, but the Maka Revius Kosha, he Yosar Al Rishonos. But the fourth Maka Sarav, is going to be harsher than everything. So he says, Lech Hazero, so go warn him, and then we're going to bring the Maka, and then it quotes the Pasuk. And then it says, the Midrash asks this following question, Mehechan Ba'alehem, from where are they, the Arov, right? Literally an Arov. The word Arov means like, sounds like a mixture, some sort of mixed swarm. So Mehechan Ba'alehem, where is the swarm going to come from upon them, upon the Egyptians? So there's three opinions that we're going to see here. Yesh Omrim Milmala, some say from above. V'yesh Omrim Milmata, and some say from below. V'Rabbi Akiva Omer Milmalan Umilmatan. And Rabbi Akiva says they're going to come from above and below. So now we're already wondering, what exactly is this? You know, there are three opinions. One says it's coming from, the Arov is from above. Is it birds? Is it monkeys out of the trees? Some come from below. Is that from underground? Is that just is from the ground? And Rabbi Akiva says both. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. So Reish Lakish says, Amar Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to them, Atem asisem hamonim hamonim abanai. You Egyptians made hamonim hamonim, which is a little bit of a hard phrase to translate. Hamonim hamonim. We'll leave that untranslated for a moment. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Hineni mashliach b'chas ha'arov v'chayos ofas me'urbavin. So it says, therefore, I'm sending the arov because you did hamonim 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 upon the Jewish people. I'm going to send Chayos and Ophos mixed together. Animals and birds mixed together. So it sounds like Reish Lakish is saying, like Rabbi Akiva, right? That there might be some sort of machlokus of, are they coming from above or below? Are they birds? It's a swarm of who knows what. I don't know. Some predatory birds, hawks, vultures, who knows what. Or are they animals? And over here, and the middle opinion could definitely be what Reish Lakish is quoting. If Rabbi Akiva, it could be he's based on that, is that it's a mixture of chayos and ophos. It's a mixture of birds and wild animals. And then the Midrash proceeds to explain that in Eretz Goshen there weren't any of these animals. Okay. Now we have to try to translate what that phrase means. Hamonim, hamonim. The word hamon usually means like a lot, like a multitude. So they put multitudes of and multitudes, multitudes, and therefore they're going to be sent over here. So there are two pshatim that are two different pshatim quoted by two different mafarshim on Shemos Rabbah. One of them is the opinion of the Maharzu. So the Maharzu explains hamonim is kimasha kasuf vayesimu alav sarimisim noksim v'shotrim, right? So it's basically that hamonim is an expression of all these people who are the tax masters that were appointed over the Jews, all these officers that are appointed over the Jews, hamonim, hamonim. There are different, I guess, different levels of people that they had to answer to. So now the response then would be in the Midrash that there's going to be different types of animals, different levels, I guess, of animals attacking. There's going to be birds, there's going to be beasts, and things like that. That's the Maharzu. If we take a look at the Eitz Yosef gives a different shot and says that that Hamonim Hamonim Albanes Abanai, they're Hamonim Shahayu Omrim Yisrael Tzeuva Hivilanu Dubim Va'arayos, because they would tell the Jews, the Egyptians would tell the Jews, go bring us bears and lions, Vahiyu Miskabtsim Masasar, and they would have to gather Alehem all these the Hamonim Hamonim Lirozba. They'd have to gather around all these multitudes of animals. So you made the Jewish people collect all these multitudes of animals. So now you're going to have to experience suffering at the hands of these animals and the paws of these animals. So that's how the Et Yosef understands this measure. So now just in summary of what we said so far, there are three opinions of where the Arov came from. Either they came from above or from below or a mix. That mix opinion might be a mix of wild animals and birds. And it's because of, the Midrash says that Hashem says, you did hamonim to my sons. And Etz Yosef says hamonim means you made them collect multitudes of animals. And Maher Zu says hamonim means you collect you appointed all these levels of officers over the Jewish people. So that's what we have so far. But if we take a look at the next Midrash, we might be able to answer the question or make things even more confusing and resolve what Hamonim really is. So the Midrash continues and gives another shot in what Arov looked like. So a little bit into the Midrash, it says, "Sar ha'arov, ha'arov." They removed the arov. Vayitzei Moshe v'yas kedvar Hashem kedvar Moshe v'yasar ha'arov. That Hashem at the end of the plague, Hashem did Moshe did what Hashem said, and Hashem did what Moshe said, and he removed the Arov. Lama hevi alehem Arov. Why was Arov brought upon them? So it just says the fisha hayu omrim Yisrael tzuva vilanu dubim v'arayos unumeirim kedei lios mitzeirim bahem. Because that they would tell the Jewish people to bring bears and lions and leopards so that in order to cause them pain. Lefika hevi alehem chayos merubavos. That's why he brought upon them a mixture of these animals. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So before we go any further, someone might want to suggest this is support to the Etz Yosef. Etz Yosef said that what did Hamonim mean in the previous Midrash? Hamonim Hamonim meant that they made them collect multitude of animals, and this Midrash is basically saying the same thing. So someone could say that Etz Yosef is basically sourced here. Some might argue in defense of the Maher Zu that if that's what the Midrash meant over there in Hamonim Hamonim, it would have said what it says here. The fact that it uses a totally different expression may indicate that that Midrash is saying something else, that there's a different Mida Keneged Mida involved. There's a different message involved. This one is the one about the collecting the animals, but there may be something else as well about having the having them have different levels of being different officers appointed over them. So that's just one way to weigh into that machlokas, possibly using this midrash. Anyway, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Nechemya Amar Mine Tzorayin V'yatushin. Rabbi Nechemya says, no, Arav wasn't wild animals. It was types of like hornets and gnats and things like that. So bugs, right? There are these flying bugs are really what the plague was. And this is very interesting. Many people who are, only grow up with Chumash and Rashi, you don't realize, and your local Judaica store Pesach supplies, you don't realize that there's this other opinion. Rabbi Nechemya, I believe it's in Christian sources and based in Septuagint, that this is actually the accepted opinion that there are hornets and gnats and not a mixture of wild animals. But actually, we see it's a machlokas and Chazal, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya, that Arov might have been hornets and gnats. Now, we can actually maybe plug this into the previous Midrash Machlokas, where he said that it comes from like above and below. So maybe the above is not birds. Maybe the above is this opinion of Rabbi Nechemya. We could say it's lines up, Kitanoi, that the above opinion is from above is, sorry, the above opinion of the Arav coming from above is hornets and gnats and bugs. And from below is wild animals. And then the third opinion, which is a mix, maybe holds like both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya. And Reish Lakish can give yet a fourth opinion that the birds are included too. So it's not so clear. just to resolve this machlokas over here, so the Midrash actually picks a side, and this is where Rashi comes from, and most of the Mefarshim come from. V'nirin dvarav shel Rabbi Yehuda. He says that the Midrash says that really it seems like Rabbi Yehuda is correct over here. Why? And he explains basically that the frogs died in their place. Because there was no benefit to get from the frogs, right? You're not going to, right? The frogs did not return to their habitats. The arov returned to their habitats. That's what the pasuk says. So why is it that the frogs were killed in their place while the arov returned to their habitats? Because, say Chazal, that Hashem didn't want them to benefit from the furs and skins and hides of all the arov, so Hashem sent them back. But the frogs, there's no benefit to be had from them. This might be, by the way, a support against the approach that I think brought down by Sfarno and maybe others as well, that the Tzvardea might have been crocodiles. So this midrash would seem to go against that because crocodile skins and crocodile teeth are things that are actually useful. So the Egyptians could have benefited from that. So it's likely just frogs. But anyway, back over here, this is the proof that the Midrash uses to support Rabbi Yehuda, that maybe really it's frogs. Maybe just like the frogs, right, if it was hornets and gnats, they could have just died wherever. But it was really beneficial. It would have been beneficial for them to... Sorry, it would have been beneficial if the animals' skins would have been left there for them to take. So Hashem arranged it that would not be the case. So we really have an arov of opinions here. We have quite a mixture of opinions. That is it possible that they were that arov was birds? Is it possible that arov were hornets and other flying insects? Is it possible that it was just wild animals? Was it birds and wild animals? Was it flying insects and wild animals? So many different opinions. But one thing is very clear, and that is the precision involved in this makla, in this makka. As the Chumash points out, and the Midrash highlights, that it didn't happen in Goshen. It didn't happen. It was something that Hashem was separating from the Jewish people. It was something that was only impacting the Mitzrim. And not only that, but we see over here, especially in this proof that supports the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that Hashem didn't even want the slightest benefit, any benefit coming out of this Makkah on behalf of the Egyptians. Hashem did not want that happening. And we see over here the calculation, the cheshbon, that we can just take a little bit of a glimpse into of God, of how many things are interplaying at once and how much significance there is to every detail. So as we look back at these parshios and we look through the makos and we see all the little details, realize that every single detail in there was done with cheshbon out of Hashem's great love for us and Hashem's desire to bring us out of Mitzrayim and to demonstrate His existence to the world. We should be able to internalize that and we should be able to apply it to our lives as well and see all the details in our lives and realize that they come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu with great cheshbon, and we should be able to get closer to Him through that. Have a beautiful Shabbos.